11th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth, whether the tree falls to the south or to the north. In the place where it falls, there will it lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Amen. Sow your seed in the morning, and at the evening let not your hand be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eye to see the sun. However many years a man may lie, let him enjoy them all, but let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Be happy, young men, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see, but know that all these things God will bring you to judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigour are meaningless. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Yes, that's fine. Thank you. Praise God. All the older brethren would know why we didn't look at chapter 12 anyway. But we won't look at that tonight. Praise God. Amen. It's good to be here, have fellowship with you again. Often think about you. And trust the Lord continues to bless you. And we'll just ask the Lord's blessing now upon his word. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray you'll open our hearts to receive the word as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us tonight, O God. There is nothing more we want, O God, than to know and to hear your voice speaking to us, O God. We pray that you'll hide the speaker behind the cross, that it's you speaking, O Lord, and that every heart here tonight shall receive something from you, O God, that none will go away empty, but, O God, that each one of us, O God, shall be nourished and fed on the finest of the wheat that you give, O God. Lord, we just pray your blessing then upon this meeting tonight, and, O God, and not only upon this meeting, every place in this land, O God, where the gospel is preached, O God, we pray, Heavenly Father, as here, there also, O God, that you, O Lord, will work with us, confirming the word, Lord, with signs following, that the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be glorified. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. This chapter began with an exhortation to be generous-hearted. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. And then it continues, and the next verse is an exposition of the first verse. Give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. And so God would exhort us to be a generous-hearted people. You know, and we ourselves will one day look back upon our life to see what sort of person we have been. What sort of testimony have we presented to the world? God will see us as either generous givers, or he'll see us as misers. There's nothing in between. The Hebrew is always very clear. It's black or it's white. We're generous, or we're, on the other hand, misers. You know, the script, it teaches us, as we sow, so shall we reap. That's an elementary law of God. Amen? But I would say this. There is a little saying that says, be careful what seed you sow, for the seed you sow will surely grow. That's a fact of life. Every seed you sow, it will grow. If it's a matter of kindness or love, mercy, help, generousness, forgiveness, all these things we shall reap as we go on, the blessings from them. But if we sow discord Or if we introduce strife, bitterness, and are mean-minded, we reap also that harvest. We shall reap in this life what we sow. It's a principle of God. So if you are generous-hearted, you will receive generously from the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs, he that is kind to the poor lendeth to the Lord. So you see, you're only lending it, and we've only got it as a temporary basis. A lady once gave sixpence away to a beggar man. She says, that's more than the Lord's given me. He said, but you've got a fine house, fine this and that. He said, it's only borrowed. The Lord has given it to me on a temporary basis. He's just loaned it to me. And that's how things are in this life. All we have are these temporal things. Will slip through our fingers one day and be non-existent as far as we're concerned. But what we have, we can use. And so God would have us to be generous people. Tell you a little story about Guy, the man that built Guy's Hospital. He was a miserly man, and he was crossing London Bridge one day, and a man saw him looking miserable. So he pulled the half a sovereign out of his pocket. He ran up to Mr. Guy and he says, here you are, Mr. He said, here's half a sovereign just to cheer you up, he said. So Mr. Guy had no need of it, but he put it in his pocket. And he said to the man, what's your name? He gave him his name. And some years after, Mr. Guy was reading the newspaper and he saw a list of people who were in the debtor's prison. And he looked again, and there was this man in a debtor's prison. And Mr. Guy went over to the prison and purchased this man out of prison. He'd given a gift, but he had reaped freedom from prison because he had given a gift. You know, that's just an example how God works in our life. There's a prosperity gospel that goes round, but that's not for us, I don't think. Not tonight, anyway. But there is a matter of sowing and reaping. We reap as we sow. Praise God for that. And you know what the Lord teaches in his word? He also lives out himself. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son for our salvation. As our sister in her testimony said tonight, that she was told as 4 years old that Christ died for her. And that's the same message tonight that we have, that God gave. He so loved us that he gave. You know, God is a generous God, and he gave the riches of heaven, his blessed only Son, the one in whom was daily his delight, as it says in the 8th chapter of Proverbs. He gave him to die on Calvary's cross for us. Praise God for such a wonderful God as we have, a living God. We haven't come tonight to a God made of sticks and stones and we're wondering whether it's going to have a little drop of milk. We've come to the living God, the fount of all wisdom, the mighty creator, the glorious Lord, the everlasting God. Hallelujah. Not made with hands, O God. And we bless the name of our Lord tonight, that, O God, that we can come to him who is the living God, and the eternal ages make no difference to him. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he gave his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for us. He gave him, as John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. A spotless Lamb. It says of him in the Psalms, he had clean hands, a pure heart, not lifted up his soul to vanity, neither sworn deceitfully. Jesus was clean in the inward parts. He was perfect in the way that he walked before his Father here on earth. The Heavenly Father could look from heaven and see a man with divine perfections. He pleased the Father in all that he thought. His very thoughts pleased the Father. There was nothing in Jesus that was impure. He was altogether lovely, as we sing, pure and holy, the Son of God, and was him that died on Calvary for us. He alone could purchase our salvation. He was God's lamb, God's substitute for us. For it's written in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here we have this wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How he died for us. In my place condemned he stood. There on the cross of Calvary, he bore all the punishment of God. You know, there is no other way than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other thought of anything else. When God allowed his son to be crucified on Calvary's cross, it says, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why did it please the Lord to bruise him? Because of the great love that he had for you and I. All the punishment that was due to us was laid on our Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no other way than this, that God has given to us the divine substitute, the Lamb of God. And his precious blood is the blood that cleanseth us from all sin. He died that we might live. By him dying on the cross of Calvary has given us life. As we heard this morning about the resurrection, there is life eternal. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He tasted death for every man. The bitterness of passing from life into the next must be an awful and bitter experience for those that are lost. People like Voltaire, he tasted the bitterness of hell before he got there. But you know, you and I, it's as easy as us going from one room to another. Jesus died for us. Hallelujah. And there we are in the place of glory even now. All because Jesus died for us. And the Bible says it was for joy, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Hallelujah. Despising the shame. And he sat down upon the right hand of the Father this evening as we preach here this word. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Jesus only is the way of salvation. Amen. You know, yesterday, when I say yesterday, it's a comparative term, probably 100 years ago. There was a preacher by the name of Edward Irving. He was one of the early Pentecostal people. He didn't belong to any Pentecostal organization. It was just that God was with him in a mighty way. In fact, it was at one of his meetings where a lady either prophesied or interpreted the coming of the Lord being an immediate prospect. And J.N. Darby, they accused him of taking that up. But J.N. Darby got the same thought from the study of the scripture. He wasn't a man likely to follow anybody else. So we praise God for men like Edward Irving. But he lost a son in his early age. And he cried to God. He said, avenge me of my son. And God waited a little while. And then he gave him a vision of the rapture. And he showed him his son being taken to glory. What a mighty thing it was that he could get that vision of that, of the glory. You know, he didn't really want vengeance. He wanted comfort. And he got the comfort, for he saw this. God gave him that revelation of the mighty rapture of all people. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me has eternal life. Amen. That's right. Has, in the present tense, has eternal life and will not be condemned and has crossed over from death to life. Praise God. What a mighty scripture that is. Jesus said, he who hears his word, that is, who hears it, mixed with faith, for this is the reality of it. It must be mixed with faith. As we receive God's word, we must believe it. It's a reality, friends. It is something that's very real. But we receive it by faith. We believe it. We stand upon it. We declare it. And whosoever heareth his word and believeth on him that sent him has eternal life. It is faith that makes all the difference to us. And so we can see that we can, in this present tense, have eternal life. As Graham preached this morning, we have redemption now. There is the day coming when our bodies will also be redeemed. Amen. For it is in the past, the present, and the future is our redemption. And we can rejoice on this, that the mighty resurrection and the glory of our God is about to take place. And you know, the decision we make tonight can decide where we spend eternity. It's a little tabernacle here, to be gathered here tonight. But the mighty God, his word is going forth. And whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ has passed from death to life. Amen. The reality. And everybody who hears my voice tonight can know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and sets them free, and gives them a home in heaven, reserved in heaven, that will never fade away. Praise God. Then the next verse in that scripture says, if the clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. You know, friends, the Holy Spirit is here tonight, full of grace and mercy. And the Spirit of God would woo everybody to come to Christ. It's not God's will that any should perish, but it's God's will that all should turn to him in repentance and accept Christ tonight. And then the next verse says, where the tree falls, whether it's to the north or to the south, there it lies. Now that's a bit of common sense really, isn't it? Because trees haven't got legs and can move. But the Holy Spirit is saying more than this. What he is saying, we work out in this life where we spend eternity. The fact is that the decision we make here tonight will determine where we spend eternity. So when the Holy Spirit put this in the writer of Ecclesiastes' mind to write these things, what he is saying is, what we are in this life, we shall be in eternity. Amen. We make a decision. There is a lot of people hope so. And there's certain religions that say they're going somewhere else to wait a while. But no, sir, there's no truth in that. The truth is that in Christ Jesus, there is salvation tonight. And if we're not saved tonight, you know, it's a sad thing. But tonight, we can come to Christ, have that assurance in our life that all is well for eternity. And so we can praise God for the joy and the thrill, the certainty and the assurance that faith gives us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then it says in the next verse, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. It is elementary, that, because if we don't sow, we shall never reap. If we don't exercise faith in Christ, we shall be lost for eternity. And today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted hour for God speaking to us and us responding to his plea. Hymn writer put it very simply, just as I am without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. Praise God. You know, it's no good waiting till we are better or older or anything else. We come to Christ just as we are. Tonight is the very time we come to him. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. The latch is on the inside. We alone can let Jesus in, you know. And if we open the door to Christ, we have this full and wonderful salvation. Praise God for that. The clouds are full of mercy, says. The clouds are full, they drop the rain. And tonight, the clouds of mercy are in this building here tonight. The mercy of God is here tonight to bring us to a knowledge of salvation. Praise God. And then it says, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. There are things that I can't tell you tonight. I could tell you the principles of a petrol engine or a steam engine, I know how they work because men designed them and men made them. And so they put it in a textbook and they tell you exactly the principle in which they work. There's other things I could tell you that I know, but there are things I cannot tell you. But you know, when you come to Christ in faith, there's a great mystery, a great and mighty change. Praise God. The great thing is that we are born again. You know, that's a miracle, isn't it? Born what of? Not born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. Jesus said that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. And we are partakers of a divine nature through the exceeding great and precious promises of God. So, it's a wonderful thing. I can't tell you how you get a divine nature except the exceeding great and precious promises of God tell us all. So we have a divine nature. Amen. You know, that's great and wonderful. Is it seen amongst us, you know, friends? Can I ask you that? When you look at each other, do you see a divine nature? It's real, isn't it? The Bible says so. And because the Bible says it, it's a fact. We are a new creation. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Amen. All things passed away, and behold, all things become new. There was a time when I got saved, and my thoughts changed. I didn't change them. God changed them. You know? And that's wonderful, is it not? And that's what happens. It's the working of the mystery of God in us. He changes us from old, the old creation, the old Adamic, into the new man that's in Christ. What a wonderful mystery that is, you know. Praise God. A new creation. Hallelujah. Amen. And furthermore, the destination is changed. Once I was lost and on my way to hell. And then by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I was turned around by God himself, by the grace of God. And I have a new destination. Hallelujah. Amen. And if nobody else cares, I do tonight. Amen. Praise God. It's a personal thing. To know you're on the way to glory. Hallelujah. Jesus died for me. I was the only man in the world. He died for me. And for you also, friend. You know, the change that takes place in our life is tremendous. You know, this change in nature gives us also a change in relationship. We are no longer enemies in our mind to God, but we are the children of God. Now that's a big difference, friends. You know, to be a son of God, a child of God, instead of being his enemy, amen. He's the judge, you know. And you know, it's better to be friends with a judge than enemy. Amen. It is indeed. Salvation works miracles in a man's life. We're all miracles that are born again. And our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fancy that. These old bodies of ours, temples of the Spirit of God. Amen. What a change it works in us when we know these things. And the power of God that dwells within us is mighty. Amen. We have not yet comprehended the power that is within us. The power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is in every believer. And we have a mighty power. You know, and when we pray and get in touch with God, there are mighty forces at work beyond our imagination. The power of God is at work. We are temples of the living God. Destination is changed. We are miracles of grace, temples of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So I praise God for all these wonderful things that has done. Things we don't know, but things we experience and know that God dwells within us, all because of his promise to us by faith. And these things happen, you know, and it is so wonderful. Because he's a wonderful and mighty God. Praise God. Then it says, light is sweet. And it pleases the eye to see the sun. The great thing about salvation is that we're no longer walking in darkness. But we have the light of life. Jesus says, I am the light of this world. And we walk in the light, which is wonderful. Amen. And the great thing in life is to know and walk in the light and not in the darkness. So many believers are in the twilight. They're half here, half there, and that. But the real believer that's walking with the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in the full light of God. Amen. And with walking in the full light of God, we have an intercourse with God. We talk with him. You know, we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. He walks with me and he talks with me and tells me I'm his own. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can walk with him and talk with him, you know. Old Billy Bray says he walked along and one foot said amen and the other said praise the Lord. Amen. So, you know, there's joy in serving Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. There is this intimate fellowship that we know Jesus and we can talk to him. And the more you know him, the stronger your faith gets. For he answers your thought before you've put them into words. It says in the 139th Psalm, he knoweth our thoughts afar off. And when we're thinking about things and worrying ourselves to death, he has a little word for us. Does he not? Does he not? Huh? Yes, to some he does anyway. Amen. And so he speaks that word of comfort. He has given us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be with us. Praise God. So it's wonderful to walk in the light, to have a sure and certain hope. Hallelujah. Amen. We're no longer fumbling about in darkness and wondering whether this is right or the other's right. The anointing that God gives us, we don't need any man to teach us. We know, we have the assurance in our hearts that all is well with our souls, that the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And by faith in him, we walk in the light. You know, when you consider the days that are just going to come upon us, these damp, dark nights that will be coming and bringing fog and all that, are not to be compared with the happy days of the bright sunshine, is they? And it is as it is in the natural, so as it is in the spiritual, to walk with the love of God in our hearts. A confidence that is ours through Jesus Christ and him alone. A real and wonderful faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we praise God for this. The scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You know, and a father loves his son. And you know, we can say the same of our Heavenly Father. He loves us. Amen. Amen. And not with a love of time, but an everlasting love. Amen. Praise God forever and ever. You know, and I, somewhere along the line, I've missed a verse, but I'll just go back to it. It's in verse 6. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally good. Now, this is a very faithful assembly at Tracting and giving their booklets out. And this verse is to encourage all the workers that give the tracts out. Because God is saying, sow your seed in the morning and at evening also. Let not your hand be idle. There was a man near Colchester and he was walking along the road one dark night. And it was in the days when the horses and carts were there and the carrier, as he was going along and towards Colchester. And the man said to who was walking, said, could I have a lift with you, please? So he was glad of the company. And so they sat on the cart and they talked together. And as the man left him, he gave him a little tract in his hand. Some years later, this man who had given the tract was sent for. All they said, brother so-and-so's dying, will you go and have a word with him? He said, yes. When he got into the bedroom, the man said, do you remember me? He said, no, I don't. He said, I can't think I've ever seen you before. He said, you did. Did you walk along the Colchester Road one day? And he pointed out the time and the circumstance. The man said, yes, I remember quite well. He said, well, I'm the man you gave the tract to, and I'm on my way to glory through that tract. So, you know, isn't that encouraging? Yes, praise God. Amen. I'll tell you one other little story about a tract as well. A man was on a ship going abroad, and whilst he was on the deck there in a deck chair, a man came up and gave him a tract, and he was very gracious. He took the tract, and he said to the man, he says, "Thank you very much." He said, "I haven't got much time for this sort of thing." He said, "I was giving tracts out in Glasgow for 20 odd years." He said, "Is that so?" said the man. He said, "Where were you giving them out?" And he told him, he said, "Well, I was one of the men you gave a tract to." So another one was saved just through the giving of a tract. And you never know, till eternity comes, the work that has been achieved by all these things. Praise God for that. You know, we are a chosen people and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people to belong to God, that you may declare the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous and wonderful light. You know, friends, tonight, if you're only a half-hearted Christian, change your direction. Get right with God. Let the light of his glory and presence shine on you and walk in it, that you may be a happier person doing the will of God. You know, we are a chosen people and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people to belong to God, that you may declare the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous and wonderful light. You know, friends, tonight, if you're only a half-hearted Christian, change your direction. Get right with God. Let the light of his glory and presence shine on you and walk in it, that you may be a happier person doing the will of God. God delights to pour out his blessing. But if we're not walking in the light as he would have us, let us turn over. Let us seek the Lord with all our heart. For this is what it says in the Old Testament. "You will find me when you seek me with all your heart." God wants us to dwell in the light of his glory and presence. And there are mighty things. And in these last days in which we are living, I'm telling you with all my heart and with all sincerity, funny old things are going to happen. The scripture teaches us this. As the days of Moses, when he went into Pharaoh, and those Jans and Jams were turning their sticks into serpents. You know, funny old things happen. But funny old things are going to happen in these days. It speaks in Thessalonians of the Satan working evil miracles. And again in Revelation it speaks of the same. Be embedded in the book of God, in his word. And you dwell in the light and you have no fear of being misled. If we are not men of the book, we shall be misled in these last days. The great thing is to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. I encourage you to enjoy the Lord more. For the more we are closer to him, the more we enjoy his presence. He died for us. He's risen again. Gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also. And the scripture says in Thessalonians, as was quoted this morning again, and I'll say it tonight, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Lord bless you. Amen.